Podcast. I'm Brian Fox. I'm here with my co-host Taylor Gaines. What's up, Taylor?
Hello.
We're back. We're back for another week. We're back talking about TV. We're not going to be talking about musical theater this week.
We could rank all of the Les Mis songs from like 35 to 1 or whatever it is.
If we really wanted to, maybe another time. Maybe on like the 50th anniversary of it.
Yeah, maybe when it's timely again.
Yeah. So today we're going
to
be talking...
We'll just have to wait until Lin-Manuel Miranda's next play for now,
I guess. We're going to be talking about Unreal on Lifetime. It premiered last Monday, and they've now aired two episodes. It airs Monday nights at what time, 10?
Yeah, 10 o'clock.
This is its second season. It's a summer show that started last season and kind of took people by surprise because it was kind of the first real serious drama from Lifetime that was actually like really well crafted and put together and kind of smart and interesting and was satirizing the reality television show without actually just being pure camp or melodrama for the sake of melodrama.
This is a Foxworthy podcast favorite, if like as far as this one of the very first podcasts we did, we talked about
Unreal. Yeah, I think this might have been one of our very first episodes. We talked about the glut of really interesting TV that was on last summer, Unreal and Mr. Robot among them. Mr. Robot obviously was a huge hit for USA, and that's coming back soon. We'll be talking about that soon, but this was another show that a lot of people were talking about in its first season that was kind of felt fresh and original, and it's back for its second season. It's a lot darker, I feel like.
I thought it managed to feel even fresher and more original second time around here.
Yeah, I would agree. I look forward to this show coming back because I really liked season one. I found it compulsively watchable, very entertaining. What is this, like, story? Have you heard this story that there was, like, a producer or something at Lifetime that was like, we need our Breaking Bad? Have you heard that quote?
No. I've heard. Is that what this is?
That's kind of where it started. They were like, we need a Breaking Bad. Like, something that people will talk about. And I don't know how the pieces fell into place, but it's, I mean, they basically got it. Because, I mean, critically acclaimed, pretty much. Across the board. I mean, I'm sure there's people that will, as we discuss it, I'm sure people will figure out whether or not it kind of lines up with their tastes or not, because it's definitely some biting satire, and there's a lot of kind of, like, it has a bit of a mean streak. And as I mentioned, much darker than the first season. But do you want to start us off by, like...
Yeah, I mean, you talked about Breaking Bad. I actually thought a lot about Breaking Bad last week when I was watching this, as timely as that is.
Yeah, this is something that you brought up to me, which I think is really interesting, this idea of having a female anti-hero.
Yeah, well, if you didn't hear us talk about this before, or if you just wanted to know a little bit more, basically, the main character is Rachel, played by Shiri Appleby.
Who was terrific on the show.
And she's a producer on this show. What's it called? Everlasting?
Everlasting is the show within the show Unreal, which is the reality show that basically all the characters are working on, and you follow the behind the scenes of a reality show.
Right. So you
she's
watch them.
She's a producer.
You watch the little battles behind the scenes and the way they manipulate the contestants and stuff like that. And effectively, she is in a slightly different position than she was in the first season as far as her role on production team.
They're calling her, like, the showrunner.
Right. And it's, you know, really fascinating because, really, this season, they took everything that was significant about each character and just turned it up to, like, 11. So she's now, like, this... I don't want to say supervillain because there's a lot of complexity to her, really.
Right.
But, like...
She's very nuanced, for sure.
But she's just, like, a lot more powerful and, like, and sort of can seem really evil to certain people. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so, like, it's The Bachelor, basically, behind the scenes, and fictionalized.
Essentially, yeah. The show that they're making, the fictional show Everlasting, is essentially The Bachelor. I don't know if we mentioned that already.
Yeah, so she's trying to coach young producers and also continue sort of producing herself.
And kind of prod people to get good footage out of the contestants talking, kind of trashing each other, get, like, emotional clips to get people to watch the show. And
yeah, so to, like, bring
the same kind of tricks that they were doing already from season one, but they kind of upped the ante a little bit. And just the tone And the sort of biting, the cynicism and the biting sarcasm is just...
It's got a really sharp edge now.
Absolutely.
But to bring it back around, the reason I kept thinking of Breaking Bad is Breaking Bad sort of ushered in, and well, I guess The Sopranos ushered
in. I mean, you had your peak. I think there's even a book that, I don't know if there was a book written, Difficult Men, where it basically covers The Sopranos, where you have Tony Soprano, you have Walter White from Breaking Bad.
Yeah, so
you
like have Walter White from Breaking Bad, Don Draper from Mad Men. These guys kind of ushered in the whole male anti-hero stage of TV.
Yeah.
And
a middle-aged man and their problems and their kind of strange lifestyle and kind of
and the fact
fantasizing
that you're like,
the crime. And
you're drawn
sort of,
to them despite the fact that you really shouldn't
and you
want
kind
to
of
care about them.
Feel something for
and,
them. Right.
I mean, for Breaking Bad, I was pretty out on Walter as far as like you know, I wasn't rooting for him in the last few seasons.
The monstrous things he was doing, yeah.
But,
maybe went too far.
But I thought it was interesting. Yeah, do you want to just talk about Breaking Bad for a while? We can.
I mean, we could always do that.
We could rank Breaking
Bad
episodes.
But it does
relate.
It does relate because this is an interesting idea that perhaps it's time that we have. Maybe we're getting into a place now where there will be a glut of shows, feminist or not. I mean, I don't know that that's even really that important to talk about it as specifically as feminism, or if it's just interesting stories.
Yeah, like we finally, that's what I was going to say, is we finally have a show where there's a female anti-hero of sorts who's leading the way, who you're like drawn to. Like I was watching it and really thinking for the first time, for some reason I want Rachel to be successful even though she's doing horrible things. And
I mean, she's definitely not the most pleasant person, but she's still sort of magnetic in a weird way.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that is the performance. And
for sure.
A lot of it, as you just alluded to, is that we don't get this a lot. We just don't get these kinds of characters, and that's sort of the argument we've made on our podcast before when you talk about the argument of diversity and storytelling and stuff. It's almost, I mean, sure, it's a social issue and whatnot, but it's really a pragmatic one too, where when it comes to telling stories, if you want to tell more great stories, just use different voices and
different
worldviews.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Unreal does that, and it does it well. I mean, I think that's key too, that it does do it well.
Right. It doesn't feel like feminism just for the sake of feminism. Like they're like, oh, we're gonna do the female anti-hero just to break the mold. It just feels
that
like
can
we're
definitely
gonna,
rub people the wrong way too.
We have this really good idea for a show, and they just happen to kind of get all the pieces in place with, I mean, there's a lot of, I think Constance Zimmer is also pretty great. Like she's also giving like a pretty great performance.
Right.
Like,
she plays Quinn, who is basically Rachel's mentor.
Rachel's, and they work together a lot, and they have kind of a contentious relationship, kind of competing for power and manipulating each other. But
I think that's right. I think that there's, I mean, it's like anything, even shows like Mad Men and Breaking Bad, obviously those are sort of mentioned in the same breath as some of the greatest shows ever made. So you do have to get lucky for a lot of these things to come together. Shiri Appleby happens to be perfect for this and magnetic.
Yeah, and totally and just all in. She just sells it.
So it's a lot of things, but it definitely helps to just be like, oh, why haven't we tried a female anti-hero before? And I'm sure that you could argue for other shows where there's female anti-heroes that I just haven't really watched, but for me this was the first time that I was watching a show and thinking, wow, like, oh, this is great. this is a female anti-hero and it's really entertaining. And I mean, like you said, it's not even really a feminist thing, it's just a thing that feels fresh and new.
Right. And I feel like the people that maybe are a little less taken with the show do maybe feel that it is just kind of doing the feminism thing for the sake of feminism, just to prove a point, like, oh, isn't it time for a woman to have a show? I don't necessarily think that that's the entire goal of having these female leads. I mean, these female characters are interesting, and the premise of the show is interesting. And who's to say that it might actually be a decent show if there were men in the leads? Who knows? It kind of just depends on who you're casting, what the writing is like. And that's the thing about it, is the show is, like, really darkly funny. Like, it's funny, but it's also, you have to really take a step back and be like, woof, they're really not pulling any punches with just, like,
people.
No, they're not great people. They do really horrible things and really manipulative things, which is sort of the whole point of, you know, the reality television that they're trying to make. But
is this a perfect show? Probably not.
Absolutely not.
There's a lot of supporting characters who are really lacking.
Correct.
And I can at least say, to their credit, in this second season, based off what I've seen so far, they took a lot of the one-dimensional or boring supporting characters and took that one dimension and just blew it up and made it, like, way more prominent. So someone like Jeremy, Rachel's
right.
ex-boyfriend.
You're saying this is a problem, or are you saying this works to sort of counteract the dullness of the supporting characters?
I think it works to counteract it. I think it's still sort of like, oh, they couldn't make those people into interesting characters, which is a little bit of a bummer, but at least if you know it's not working, you can make it entertaining. And it's just give the main character something to bounce off of.
Yeah, they just kind of made some of that stuff a little more over the top.
But we're talking a little bit about morality as much as we're saying it's not necessarily right. what we think about when we talk about the show. But with this being a satirical reality show of sorts, I mean, it's satirizing a reality show. Do you find yourself thinking, you're someone who doesn't watch reality shows, really?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about this right before we started recording. I mean, you have your kind of guilty pleasure stuff. Like, you really enjoy Survivor, which is a totally different type of thing than The Bachelor, but it's, you know, kind of infamous reality TV. I don't think I've ever really watched... I mean, I went through a bit of a phase where I kind of guilty pleasure watched a lot of Jersey Shore. I don't really know why. It would come on in these marathons, and I would just sort of take them as characters in a TV show and not assume that any of it was real and just kind of let it entertain me and wash over me and watch it mindlessly. But that's really my only real relationship. I mean, I've caught little bits of, like, Keeping Up with the Kardashians and that kind of thing. But overall, reality television is definitely not my jam. I prefer scripted stuff.
Do you think that it's gross? For lack of a better word? Is that part of why you don't watch reality television?
No, I don't necessarily find it gross. I understand why people watch it. They want to watch other people's problems and kind of just, like, I don't know, make themselves... I know a lot of people who just watch it because they know that it's trashy and they just sort of accept it for its trashiness. And they let it just sort of be entertaining and they don't take it seriously. And they know that it's all probably manipulated and fictionalized and it's cut and edited and shot in a way to make you think a certain thing is happening when really the reality, quote unquote, is obviously... I mean, everyone knows at this point that a lot of this stuff is just manipulated footage to tell, you know, a story. Whoever is making up the beats of the... who's breaking up with whom, who's sleeping with this person, and, you know, so...
Do you feel...
It just doesn't really appeal to me for whatever reason. I would much rather just, like, watch a story, like, a well-crafted story with performances and like,
so,
honed writing.
What appeals to you about the reality show aspects of Unreal, then?
I mean, I just think the satire is really good. I mean, it's just really well done. I think, for me, like, I don't watch shows like The Bachelor, but I've seen enough, based on commercials and sort of... understanding exactly what that show is and how completely ridiculous it is. And I think the people who watch it and really like it know that it's ridiculous. I don't think anyone takes it seriously. But they're completely satirizing it in a really, like,
so do you feel bad?
Sharp way on Unreal.
But do you feel bad for people on Unreal? Or is it just like, oh, it's all fiction? Because last week...
Do I feel bad for, like, the characters?
Last week, they had a character and the producers were set on getting her to cry.
On camera, right?
On camera.
To cut a promo together to make people watch an episode.
Based off the fact that her, was it fiancé?
Yeah. Had died in a car accident.
Had died in a car accident.
And she apparently, like, was the one driving.
It was like a 10-minute scene in the episode. Of like,
yeah.
Wait, so you were driving the car and when your fiancé died? And you're like, yeah. And it's like, ask her if she killed her husband. And you're like, what?
Yeah, it's really dark. They really took it. They doubled down on that.
It's
that
just,
kind of stuff.
I wonder if people like Unreal because you're watching The Bachelor, but you're not getting any of the moral
right, because it
issues.
Is, we all know that it is just actors, and we're not actually watching real people being manipulated
right.
in any way.
I think that's a large reason why this show works for me, is it's this really weird mix of guilty pleasure stuff and really good television.
Right. And it also kind of makes you see how these reality shows wind up being good television for certain people.
Right. There's just...
There's just
like
a
any
weird
good show.
Entertainment value to it that can't really be explained.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things that add up to it being a good show that... an entertaining show that aren't normal things that add up to good shows.
Right.
So it's just a really unique TV watching experience at this point in time. And, you know, and obviously in a different way than Preacher is a really unique experience,
right.
Which we talked about a couple weeks ago, and which, for the record, I still have no idea what's happening.
Are you caught up?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm caught up. But I still am not totally clear on what's happening on the show.
Right.
It's a very interesting storytelling technique, but I digress. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much our thoughts on Unreal. It's really, really
entertaining.
Yeah, this
season started off with a bang, for sure. And, I was all in from the first minute.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how this develops and if we get more female anti-hero stuff like this.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if this is sort of something that trends, where you get a really interesting actress, give her some meaty, juicy thing where you have a female-centered drama, melodrama, something where you kind of see, I don't want to say, like, a female behaving badly. That's not really what makes it interesting. It's just...
That makes it so much complex, too.
It's way more complex than that. But yeah, I mean, we like this show. This show was one of our favorite things we watched last summer, so we're excited for it to be back. I definitely recommend people check it out. I don't know, would you say that it's, like, imperative to watch season one, to dive into season two? I mean, with anything that's serialized, you have a lot more context for certain things and certain relationships between characters, but...
And I think you might like Rachel more if you watch
the if you're already attached, because she starts off real...
Real strong.
Real strong in this one. I think the other thing we had scheduled to talk about today was we wrapped up the fourth season of The Americans, and we wanted to just say a couple things about that and kind of our hopes for the future, what we think may or may not happen, what we'd like to see if we think these last two seasons are going to stick the landing.
Yeah, so they announced, we mentioned this, right?
When we did our Americans pod, we mentioned that they were renewed at once for the fifth and sixth seasons on FX, and the sixth will be the final.
13 episodes in season 5. Mm-hmm. 10 episodes in season 6.
Is that what you heard?
That's what I heard.
Okay. I believe you, but I didn't see that.
So, let me ask you real quick. We're going to be a little spoilery with this one, just because we've talked about this show before, and if you...
There's nothing I can do to help you at this point if you don't want to watch it. If you don't want to watch The Americans...
There's a couple things I want to talk
about.
You're
missing out.
So, you know, going into the final, there's two seasons left.
Right.
Whether you knew it was 23 or thought it was 26 or whatever. How does that affect you when something happens that's... along the lines of, hey, the FBI is close now.
Closer than they've ever been.
Elizabeth, you need to leave the country with your two children and go to Russia. And there was a really great moment of Elizabeth and Philip having to react to that, especially with him secretly wanting to stay in America the entire series and her just wanting to fight, really. So to me, I read that scene as her reaction being, I can't believe we have to, like, give up. And him being, I don't want to go back to Russia.
Interesting because...
But the question I wanted to ask you, totally different things. Right.
Go ahead.
The question I wanted to ask you is, do you actually think there's any threat of them going to Russia because there's two more seasons left?
I honestly don't know, but it would be interesting to see if maybe I don't know. I don't know what the showrunners have in mind. I think the fact that you just mentioned that season 5 will have 13 episodes and season 6 will only have 10 means they've definitely had to have roughly plotted out. Like, we need these 23 hours. We know where the story's going. We know, you know, roughly what's going to happen in each one. Otherwise, they would probably have a full 13-episode final season. But I think what's interesting about it is, I honestly have no idea what's going to happen. It does feel like Stan is about to catch them, or that the FBI is going to figure out that they're across the street.
It's
they
funny.
Literally live across the street.
We talked about Breaking Bad a little bit with Unreal, and I told you before, this episode of The Americans was the first time I thought about Breaking Bad a lot.
Yeah.
Because it really started to feel like...
Hank discovering Walter on the toilet.
Right.
Book of Leaves of Grass.
So this time Stan is going to eventually find out that his next door neighbors are Russian spies. And there was even a scene that was... tilting back and forth between really a good scene and also, this is just dragging out how long it's going to take for him to find out.
Mm.
When Dylan Baker, who played William, whatever the hell his last name was.
Right.
And he was dying in the hospital and he was just saying, oh, the wife is so beautiful and then there's the husband.
Yeah.
Just like, oh my gosh. So
basically just giving them away.
You basically know that he's going to find out eventually, or else that would be kind of a waste of a lot of storytelling, I think. But when is he going to find out, and what are they going to do is something we don't know. And that's why I think there's no way they're going to go to Russia, because it would just be throwing away a lot of the story that they built up.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more interesting things that could happen.
So it'd be interesting if they spent some time there in the final season for whatever reason. But I don't know what the end game would be, because if they go to Russia, assumingly they would just kind of go into sort of normal lives as Russian civilians. And
you got to remember,
that's
too,
not really interesting.
This is a show about the Cold War. And
right.
That's not a war that Soviet Russia won.
Right.
I don't know that it just seems like unlikely to me that it would just end with Philip and Elizabeth getting out and being happy and living in America. Yeah. I don't know that it's going to end well for them.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't know. It's very interesting. But let me ask you, I don't know if this is that important. I'm just curious if you think, do you think they have a plan? Like, do you think we'll ever see Martha again? Or do you think she's, her like storyline on the show is just done?
I think she's done. They tortured her for a lot of years.
I'm only curious because they keep bringing up her parents. And, like, her parents keep kind of popping back in, and they keep making references to her parents still trying to find her and stuff, so...
I think there's a chance that they might have something up their sleeve as far as...
I'm not necessarily interested in it. It'd be... I'm curious to see if we get
she
there,
she ended
but...
at a really good... I mean, not a good spot for her, but a really good spot for the story.
Right, it had a conclusion.
As far as putting her through a lot and having her actually sort of survive it. Mm-hmm. In one piece.
Did you like the overall season? Did you think this was a strong season?
Yeah, I thought this was a really good season. This show is weirdly settling into a rhythm of...
consistency.
Yeah,
it's always good.
Not like distinguishable seasons really anymore for me.
True.
I'm sort of looking back and being like, oh, this is all really one big story.
Yes.
Because at first you didn't really know what this show was. Where Breaking Bad, you pretty much knew from the beginning the arc it was going to go on.
Yeah. I feel like this arc gets kind of tighter and the focus is more specific each season.
Even though this season, I don't think there was really a villain. Because I think even last season, there was sort of a villain. And the season before that was like the murder mystery season.
Right.
That's
an interesting point. Yeah,
It's really just been
It's just really been the threat of like the pressure that they're under. The threat of them potentially having to leave America and go back to
Russia. This
has
always been a show that's really about family and marriage and stuff.
Yeah, family relationships and dynamics.
They just really got into that a lot. And
yeah.
The stuff with Paige has been fascinating and...
She's gonna be a little super spy, isn't she?
It's first of all, let me say, it's amazing that they cast like a... She must have been, what, like a 12-year-old girl when the show started?
She had to have been pretty young.
And she's good.
She's really good.
She's really good. And the
show... the more they give her to do, just the nuances, like, I'm never quite sure what she's up to.
The Pastor Tim stuff was actually really good, I thought.
I hate his hair still, but that's irrelevant.
And the moment where he sits down at the table with Stan and they're like, oh, Stan's
an
FBI
agent. That was a fantastic scene. Love
just
that.
The tension. It's oof.
I mean,
yeah,
we did a whole podcast on this show. We obviously think it's really solid and strong.
It's just intense and it's just as good as it's ever been. And
yeah, definitely no dip in quality.
Yeah, the finale was a little weird as far
as
like
sort of
traditional
key.
TV because it was very low-key and just sort of like bringing everything back in and setting it up for whatever's next. So
definitely open-ended, but not like any jaw-dropping cliffhangers.
No, nothing super surprising.
Because last season, going season 3 to 4, we had the page on the phone kind of divulging to Pastor Tim like that her parents were Russian spies, which was definitely a cliffhanger. But...
You mentioned Paige being a spy. Even she's getting some action now. Well, action as far as like she's sort of reporting home to her parents about stuff that happens with Pastor Tim and his wife and stuff that happens with Stan
and his
son.
And his son, Matthew.
You know, she's pulling honeypot moves on Matthew now. It's just, it's really, really interesting. I mean, there was the great moment where her mom had to reveal how violent she actually was in front of her.
Yeah.
Just a lot of really fascinating...
Pretty complicated stuff.
Just really
I mean, this show's never been...
Yeah.
It seems simple on the surface, but there's a really a lot of like deeper stuff
going
on.
It's the kind of show where every line means three different things.
Yeah. A lot of subtext, a lot of like kind of like metaphors and stuff.
Like Philip sitting on the porch with the babysitter that he's been working for a couple of years now, and she tells him that her dad's in the CIA or whatever it is, which I think is something he already knew.
Mm-hmm.
But he says to her, "You really shouldn't have told me that." And you could tell all he's really thinking about is Paige really shouldn't have told Pastor Tim.
Right.
What he just knows what it's like to be in that position, and it's just interesting hearing him say things when he means something completely different.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what a lot of this show is like, and that's why it's really fascinating.
So many moments like that, absolutely. And the just those scenes with Philip and Elizabeth, those two, just their chemistry, the looks they give each other, they sometimes just have like an entire conversation without words. It's always been terrific.
Actors are prone to fall in love with each other when they are acting as love interests.
I don't know if they're prone to it. I mean, it seems to happen semi-frequently, but
if people don't know,
Matthew Rhys, who plays Philip, and Gary Russell, who plays Elizabeth Jennings, are in, they're a real-life couple, and they have kids together.
Yeah, are they, like, married?
I don't know if they're married, but they definitely have a kid. They definitely have a family, and they've been, I mean, they've been in a relationship for at least a few years.
It's funny.
As they've been co-workers. I mean, it must be tough, like, working together, but...
I gotta think it only makes their work a lot better at this particular moment.
Yeah, because they're so close.
But... it's funny, if you go back and watch season 4, knowing that she was pregnant during the filming of it, you can sort of see them work around it a little bit.
Interesting. So. Well, I think that's going to wrap up our discussion of The Americans. We really enjoyed this fourth season. We got two more seasons coming. I don't know exactly what we're going to cover next week. I know we have a couple things coming. I don't know if you realize this. We have a new season of Orange is the New Black dropping on Friday.
I do realize that.
I didn't realize that until last week.
In the midst of... trying to catch up on Netflix stuff.
Did you see? Are you caught up on Orange is the New Black, though? Did you watch? You watched the first three seasons?
I'm caught up on Orange is the New
Black. Yeah, I know you've been watching Daredevil. How's that been going?
Good. It's really entertaining.
Is it?
I still think it definitely... I've watched 5 of the 13 or 6 or whatever, and it already feels like 13 is too many, but
yeah,
that's sort of the curse of a lot of the Marvel Netflix shows.
Yeah, I tried to go back and watch some season 4 House of Cards, and I wasn't really in the
right mood. I'm doing that
too. I'm a little just like the political stuff right now is just, I can't do it. It's not entertaining.
I'm working through those. I'm probably going to watch Bloodline and Orange is the New Black right after that.
So yeah, I mean, I feel like we'll probably cover some Netflix stuff, probably touch on Orange is the New Black, and maybe we'll revisit House of Cards or Daredevil once we've kind of caught up on some of that. We've kept mentioning we're kind of waiting for the big one at this point. Like, Mr. Robot doesn't start till like mid-July.
It's exciting.
I can't think of anything else new that we already know is kind of going to be... pretty promising.
Is there going to be another BoJack season?
I have no idea.
Have you watched BoJack?
No. You've sold me on it, but I haven't had the time to watch it.
Anyway. I'll sell you hard enough then.
I mean, you know how it is. There's just so much going on. Anything else we want to say? Anything else we want to plug? Did you write a new column?
No.
No new column yet?
No new column yet. I will.
Last one was.
Let the people know on Twitter.
About Supergirl, right?
Supergirl.
We plugged that one last time.
There is TV news from today, I guess, if people haven't seen it. Larry David.
I guess is bringing back Curb Your Enthusiasm to HBO.
Creator of Seinfeld.
I guess it's going to be the 9th season.
Yeah, 9th season.
I saw people on Twitter debating whether or not it's going to be considered a revival series, or it's just...
Oh, gosh.
Because there's been such a gap. It's been like five or 6 years since the last season.
He has the sort of Louis C.K. deal where
he can come back and do whatever he wants, just creatively. Has pretty much free reign. Anyway, I think that's going to wrap it up for us here at the Foxworthy Podcast. As always, you can find us on Twitter at FoxworthyPod. You can find... Taylor at Gaines Taylor. You can find me at FoxBJ_88. Fox is spelled, as always, FAUX. You can find us on iTunes, rate and review us. Just search the Foxworthy Podcast. We'll come up. Download us, stream us. Please let us know what you think. And we'll see you guys next week.
Play us out.
Foxworthy Podcast.